aren't you thinking? He asked the Lord to grow in faith and love and every grace. And he thought the Lord would remove all his troubles. But he gave him troubles. And that caused him to grow in faith and in every grace. All right. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's not enough time to deal with each verse since I want to dwell on one verse more specifically. Verse 17. I've had this on my mind for some time. Verse 17 is written for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so the title of this message and the subject is Momentary Afflictions and Eternal Glory. Momentary Afflictions and Eternal Glory. Now the lot in life for most believers, the lot for most believers in this world is trials and afflictions. It is not health and wealth, as false prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T, prophets would tell us, but rather trials and afflictions, as we read and sung in that hymn. Turn with me to one of mine and Brother Stan Anderson's favorite psalms, Psalm 73, and perhaps many more of you. Psalm 73, David, in this psalm, if you're not familiar with it, David is sort of complaining to God in the first more than half of this psalm. He's complaining that it seems like the world doesn't have any problems, but God's people have nothing but problems. Psalm 73. And as I said, the lot for most believers in this world is trials and afflictions. And for that matter, Job said this concerning all mankind, really. He said, man, all mankind, man that is born of woman is a few days. That is, this life is just a vapor. It doesn't last very long. A few days. The Lord tells us, or is written, teach us to number our days. Not years, days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. But Job is written, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's enough trouble in this life, in the life of every human being, for them to stop and think that, hey, there's nothing of any lasting happiness here. There's enough trouble in the life of most human beings that should cause them to stop and think, there's nothing of any lasting peace and joy and happiness here, is there? Well, but they don't. Men, I don't know where it is, Job or Proverb, that says their secret thought is that they're going to live forever. But it's not so. But the believer, the life for the believer, the life, this life is especially trying. Let's just look at a few verses. Psalm 73, David said, verse 3, let's read verses 3 through 7. David said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Down to verses 12 through 14. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. David says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was painful for me, too painful, until... See, David is just rationalizing in his own mind, looking around. But he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, I went into the house of God, I heard God's word, then I understood their end. That's the important thing. Their end. Look at verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down unto destruction. Slippery places. So, go back to 2 Corinthians 4. So the apostle is saying the same thing here in 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4. In light of what the believer has in the end. See, this is the important thing. What the believer looks forward to. He calls it eternal glory. In light of what the believer has in the future, he calls these afflictions and these troubles light and momentary. Momentary. He says, our light afflictions. Now, I know what some of you were thinking when you read that. You were thinking, my troubles aren't light. They're very heavy. They're very difficult to bear. Well, let's turn over to chapter 11. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11. Now, the Apostle Paul is the writer here. And I want you to look at Paul's afflictions with me. All right? Let's look at what Paul went through. And then see what you have to say. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Paul says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. And you know what those torture devices look like. Five times 40 stripes, that's 200, save one. That's 195 stripes with a whip. With broken bones and pieces of glass on the end of it. Most people didn't survive one whipping. Most people died five times. Keep going. That's not it. Three times I was beaten with rods, heavy staves or sticks. Once was I stoned. That's the time we believe over in chapter 12. It talks about a man going to the third heaven. That was Paul. He died. But the Lord raised him. He was stoned to death. Three times I suffered shipwreck. If you've ever been out to sea in perilous waters, it is one of the most frightening things you'll ever experience. I've had a brief encounter with it, and it was horrifying. The thought of drowning. Three times. A night and a day, 24 hours treading water. In the ocean, a black sea at nighttime. Can you imagine? In journeyings, read on. In journeyings, often he walked on foot. You look at Paul's travels in the map in the back of your Bible. How many thousands of miles he walked? We have real trials when our car breaks down, though. Journeys off in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my unknown countrymen, his friend, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. In other words, Darnell, wherever he went, whoever he's with, his life was in danger. That's what he wrote there in 2 Corinthians 4. Always ready to die. Every day, day in and day out. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, that is, staying awake, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care, the burdens, the trials, the troubles, the problems of all the churches, everybody's problem, wanting Paul to help them. And he writes, our light afflictions. Now tell me how tough our afflictions are in light of that. That's my first point. They're light. Why does he call them light? They're light compared to what some other people go through. Right? Compared to what some other people go through. They're light compared to our blessings. If we would stop and think about the blessings we've experienced through this life, our blessings far, far, far outweigh our trouble. Do they not? Most of us have lived a pretty long time. And most of the time, we've been blessed. And then the trials have come, though. So they're light compared to our blessings and compared to what others go through. And they're light compared to what we're going to experience, future glory. Paul said in another place in Romans 8, he said they're not worthy. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All right, they're light. Nevertheless, they're afflictions. Look over at verse 8 in our text. They are afflictions. And Paul had them. All the apostles had them. All of God's people had them. I think it was Peter that said, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren throughout the world. The same, very same thing. There's nothing that you haven't gone through that's common to other people. And has been from the beginning of time. All of God's people have gone through. There's nothing we've gone through that all of God's people haven't gone through or will not go through. We'll go through. So he says, our light affliction. Look at verse 8. They are afflictions, though. We're not saying they're not trouble and not difficult. He says in verse 8, we are troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Paul could not see into the future. That is concerning every event. Right? He's just a man. God's the only one who's omniscient. Paul had some prophetic vision, but he didn't know. You remember, he would essay to go somewhere. He'd want to go here, want to go there, and the Spirit of God would prevent it. But so Paul was troubled with world events, was he not? I remind us who the king was of the Roman government when Paul lived. Nero. Nero's the one who filled up the floor of the Roman Colosseum with the bones of believers. The gladiators and all that. He's the one that started all that. Nero. Paul calls him the lion in another place. That the Lord delivered him from the mouth of the lion. A roaring, raging lion. Nero. Paul was troubled by world events. He was troubled by the government which he lived under. He was troubled by sin around him. He was troubled, like we are, with the perverse and wicked world that we live in. Troubled for, he didn't have any children, but the young believers were like children to him. He was troubled for the children of his people, growing up in a world like that. Are we not troubled for our children? He was troubled with his own sin. Huh? That's a believer's greatest trouble, is it not? Besides trouble without, it's trouble within. It never leaves you. Trouble with your own sin. But look at what he said. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Paul didn't need to take a pill. Old Jehoshaphat said in that prayer, we don't know what to do, but our eyes turn to Thee, O Lord. We don't know what to do. We're troubled. Look at the thing. Next thing. We're perplexed. We're perplexed. We don't have all the answers. Paul didn't have all the answers. He was perplexed. Aren't you perplexed about why some things happen? Do you not ask the Lord, Lord, why? Why are you doing this? There's not a person in here who hasn't asked the Lord reverently, carefully, respectfully, but asked Him, Lord, I don't know why You're doing it this way. Is there any other way? We're perplexed, He said. But known unto God are all His works from the beginning. We're not in distress because God reigns. God rules. God Almighty orders all things. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're not going to despair of any help because God reigns and God rules and God ordered all of that. Read the next line. We're persecuted. Persecuted. Our Lord said that this would happen, didn't He? He said, blessed are you when men shall persecute you, revile you, say all manner of evil falsely against you for My name's sake. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. Persecuted. That's the lot of God's people, to be persecuted, not loved. He said, woe is unto you if the world, if the religious world speaks well of you. They hated Me, Christ said. They wanted to kill Me. They did kill Him. And they'll hate you also. Worry about it if this religious world thinks you're a swell feller. Must not be standing up for the truth because they don't love the truth. He said you'll be persecuted. Persecuted. And persecuted by Satan, the world, self, but not forsaken. I tell you, if you've really been persecuted and you felt like everybody was against you, and the Lord has come to you as He will in times like that. There's never been consolation like that. He's never... If you've gone through that, you know that the consolation afterward is worth it all. That He makes Himself more real and near and dear to you than ever before in your life. When you stand up for His sake, for His honor, though the whole world hates you, you'll stand up like He did for Stephen. Guarantee it. Not forsake Him. He said, I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you to the end of the world. Cast down. Do you ever get downcast? Every one of us in here get downcast. Every one of us in here get depressed. Sometimes for reasons unknown. The Scriptures talks about the rain coming down, the floods coming out, and the winds. Those are three manner of trials. Trials we know the Lord sent. Trials that come from this earth around all around us. And the wind. Don't know where they came from. Those trials. And why. Cast down. Downcast. But not destroyed. It didn't destroy you. It didn't destroy you. Well, let's go back to the text now. So, he says they are afflictions. They are afflictions. But he says there are light afflictions compared to what others go through. They're light afflictions, and Paul perhaps was thinking of Job. Wasn't he? Paul was probably thinking of Job. Of all that Paul went through, he was probably thinking, well, at least I didn't go through what Job went through. It's just me. So he calls them our light affliction, he said. Now look at verse 17 again. Which is but for a moment. a moment. For a moment, can you stand something for 60 seconds? You know, the young children, when they're going through something difficult, young children, like if they have to wait, 60 seconds is an eternity, isn't it, for young children? The younger they are, the more difficult the least little problem is. More difficult. More trying. I got to tell this on my daughter. When she was very, very young, she would fall and, you know, get hurt, as children do. And being an only child, my wife would run to her. "Oh, honey, darling, sweet pie," you know, and scoop her up in her arms. "It's okay," you know. And I always tried to, well, the little older she got, I always tried to, "Honey, don't, you know, she needs to toughen up a little bit." Toughen up. Right? Yeah, and there's certain things, and as you, the older you get, the more you go through, and you become toughened to it. It's the same thing spiritually. Our light afflictions with her but for a moment. A moment. Compare again, they're temporary. They're just for a moment. What do you mean a moment? The grief I'm experiencing, the trouble I'm experiencing, I'll never forget. Well, they're momentary compared to, again, our blessings. If we would stop and think about our blessings, how much the Lord is right now blessing us, has blessed us, is blessing us, and you can fully expect Him to continue to bless you. So these light afflictions are momentary. If you'll stop and consider the blessings, that temporary trouble and difficulty will go away in light of thanks, or in place of thanksgiving. I'm telling you the truth. If you stop, it's like prayer. If we won't moan and groan and complain so much, but rather give more thanks, we'll forget about what we're moaning and groaning about. What's that song that group sang? Get over it. Get over it. Some things, you know, we just really need to get over and grow up about. They're for a moment compared to our time on this earth. Now, if I was Enoch, or if I was Adam, we might have more reason to complain if we were going to live 900 years. Woe is me. What if we were only 40, like I'm 47. What if I was only 40? I got 900 more years to go. Oh. Be hard not to complain then, wouldn't it? And moan and groan. Moan and groan. So we've got 70. And so about all we've got to endure is 70. And some of you are past the time. It's over, Charles Ross. It's over. You're on borrowed time. Honestly. Henry? There's no more room for complaining. And we're going to get to it in a moment. Well, it's over. Some of you are just about to, Nancy, just a few more years. 8 years? Short of 70? Are you that old? Don't look it. Close, getting close, right? What is your life but a vapor? Compared to our time on this earth, these afflictions momentary, but for a moment. And now look at the next, and compared to eternity. The time we're going to, eternity. I can't even describe eternity. It's forever. What's 70 years in light of forever? So they're momentary in light of eternity. Look at the next line. He says, our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us. Romans 8:28 isn't the only verse like that in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:17 is. It worketh for us. These afflictions are working for us. If they weren't for our good, God wouldn't have sent them, would He? He's too kind to do evil. He's too good to do evil. He's too wise to err. As, again, I quote what Brother Richardson said. He said, if we knew what God knows, we would order our lives exactly the way He's ordered them. Wouldn't change a thing. Because we'd know exactly why He sent everything in our life. It can't be any other way. Because it's God's purpose. And it's for us. It's for our good. Everything works for us. Now look at this. Here's the next thing we're going to dwell on. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Weight of glory. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now this word weight here is the only time this word is used in the New Testament, in all the Bible, in this sense. Weight. And the word weight here has in mind, or what it means is such a load or an abundance of something. Like somebody, well, it's like Jacob. Jacob's sons. You remember when Joseph was on the throne in Egypt, and Jacob's sons all came and brought little sacks to get corn in. You remember that? And Joseph, they didn't know who Joseph was at the time, but Joseph knew them. They didn't come expecting much, but Joseph filled up all their sacks. And not only the sacks, but loaded their wagons. Loaded their wagons full. So the word here is eternal abundance of glory. Our Lord called it life more abundant. Abundance of glory. That is blessings, joy, happiness. More happiness than you could bear right now. Have you ever been so happy and so overjoyed right now that you think, I can't? Like trials, you know, you've been under such severe afflictions and trials, you think, I can't take it anymore. Have you ever been so happy about something, you think, I'm going to explode? But we ain't seen nothing yet. The reason we just experienced a foretaste of it, we sing the song of foretaste of glory. Divine. We just experience a foretaste of it right now. So much, a little bit of it. Because if He really poured, we couldn't live here. I believe that's what happened to Enoch. Enoch lived 365 years. He walked with the Lord, and the Lord so blessed him spiritually till finally he just walked into heaven. The Lord said he can't live here there anymore. The joy, happiness, peace, life abundant. Our Lord called it abundant life. Glory is the word. Glory that He said far excelleth, far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Now, Lord help me here. Now, glory. There's many glory. Paul talked about the glory of this earth, the glory of the celestials, the glory of the terrestrials. There's glory. What God has made, what God has done, there's glory in. When God Almighty created this world, when He created this planet, can you imagine that when He was creating things, what it must have been like? Have you ever looked at the sky at a time when it was just the most glorious display of colors, you thought, this is incredible. Have you not? Sure you have. Every one of us have. There have been times I've looked at the sky and I thought, if somebody painted that, you wouldn't nobody would believe them. They'd believe they made it up. So colorful. Well, can you imagine when God was creating this whole thing? We go to the stadium and see a few fireworks. Fireworks. God was throwing the stars out into space. Jupiter, Pluto, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens declare His what? Glory. Can you imagine what that was like? He says, someday it's going to far excel the glory of creation. And we're going to behold it. We're going to be there. Are you hearing me? Far excel it. The glory of the creation, the heavens and the earth. Adam. God made everything before He put man in that garden, didn't He? God made everything. People, this world is beautiful. If it wasn't for sin, this world, everything God has made is beautiful. Isn't it? Well, God created all perfect. No thorns, no thistles, no flies, no skeeters, no nothing like that. Nothing to mar His creation. Every vegetable was perfect. Every fruit was perfect. Every tree was perfect. No brown grass, no brown leaves, no nothing like that. Perfect. No weeds in the grass. He created it all and put Adam in it. And Adam, I know, just for days, maybe months, maybe years, walked around just beholding the glory of God's creation. The new earth. God said in Isaiah 65, behold what I create. I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not even be remembered or come to mind. For the glory that excelleth. We're going to be there. We're going to be there. Behold it. Now that's the glory of this earth. The glory of creation. Lord, help me here. I ain't said nothing yet. The glory of the gospel. Do you ever sit and listen to the gospel and think, that's the times when you think, I can't take anymore. I'm going to pop. Isn't it? Every now and then, when the Lord helps a man to preach the gospel in such a way and you enter into it, you hear it, you think, I'm ready to go right now. The half has not been told. There's not one verse in this Bible a man has ever, even to a degree, touched the truth of it, the glory of it. When we get there, Jesus Christ is going to stand up. And open the book, Genesis 1:1, and preach from it for 1,000 years, and we're just going to be. He's going to tell the whole story. We preach in part, we know in part, but when that which we're going to know, He's going to tell us. Our jaws are going to be on the floor. And that the scripture says, there's some men I love to hear preach. I just love to hear. My pastor is my favorite. That's the way it should be. The scripture says no man spake like this man. His voice, we can't even. Far excelleth the most beautiful voice ever heard. The most commanding voice. The most precious and glorious countenance. The glory of His person. It says, Paul, Peter, James, John said, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We beheld His glory. Peter said that. We were up on the mountain. back in chapter 3, verse 18 says, we all with open face behold Him, but in a glass, the glory of the Lord.
like looking through a, I don't know, screen door or something. A glass darkly, Paul called it. Sunglasses on, or seeing him. There are times when we get a view of Christ's glorious person and it's just, isn't even wonderful? We're going to see him as he is. The glory of his person. That what we've seen right now doesn't even compare. It's not worthy to be compared with the glory we're going to see in him. And what we're going to hear. Paul, when Paul came back from heaven, in chapter 12 of this book, when Paul came back from heaven, he said, I heard things that are impossible to utter. He didn't even tell us what he saw. He said, I heard things. You can't believe it. I can't begin to tell you what I heard. Old Brother Barnard's dream of that angelic choir, you remember that? I've told it to you. Maybe some of you haven't heard it or don't remember it. Old Brother Rolf Barnard loved to sing, but he couldn't sing. He was a terrible singer. If you ever have any of his old tapes and heard him singing, he made a joyful noise. But he couldn't sing, and he dreamed of singing well. But he loved good singing. And he said he dreamed, and he went to heaven, and he was outside the city there, and he heard the most beautiful singing he'd ever heard. Just impossible to describe, the most beautiful singing, a choir. And he walked in this vast room, and he said there were people which no man can number, filling up the sky, it seemed, this singing beautifully. He said, oh, I'd love to be a part of that singing. I want to be a part of that. I want to join in with them. And he looked around and he saw there was a vacant seat. An empty seat way up there in the back. He said, well, I'll try to get that seat. And he walked and walked and walked and went by the people. And he came up to the seat and it was written on the back of the seat, Rolf Barnard. And he said he sat down and joined in. Paul said, we heard things unlawful to utter. The glory, eternal glory. And the glory of fellowship. That's my next point. This right here is really what makes this life worth living. God's people are the salt of the earth. And of whom the world is not worthy. And I can't think of anybody out there other than God's people that I want to spend more than a few minutes with. Honestly. I don't, but I just can't think of anybody. I've got nothing to talk about, nothing to enjoy. But now, the fellowship that God's people have together is glorious, is it not? What we have experienced a little of glory in here together, haven't we? We've been together. We've been through a lot of things together. We've been through glory together. You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till everybody. When you go to these Bible conferences, you like to go to these Bible conferences, don't you? Like me. I just don't like to preach in them. But I like to go to them sometimes. Kind of getting like my dad, though. I'm so hard of hearing that I can't, when all the noise, I can't hear anything. But anyway, those they are enjoyable. When you get all these believers together, and everything's, the message is so good, the singing's better than it's ever been, the fellowship's so sweet, there's never a discouraging word. You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till everybody is together. Everybody that's missing. Everybody that's gone before us. Do you know what a reunion we're going to have in heaven? How about you hadn't seen somebody in a long time, you see them, you're so happy to see them. Is far excelling. The reunion. It's going to be no tears. I don't know how we're going to do it without tears. Tears of joy, but he said, nah. The glory that excelleth. Far excelleth. More exceeding, eternal weight. Over abundance of glory. And get this. Here's the last thing. It's forever. It's eternal. It's eternal. It never stops. Now, we can't understand that. Can't we? We can't enter into that. I can't. That's it. That's all I can do. It's eternal. Eternal glory. No end. No end to the happening. No limits to the enjoyments. None. We're going to see each other, be with each other, and be so overjoyed as if we're going to act around each other like we hadn't seen each other for years, and we're going to act that way forever. We're going to hear the preaching like it's the first message we ever heard, and the best. Forever. Never grow weary, never dull of hearing, never sleepy, never. That's it. That's all I can do. So he says, verse 18, in closing, so while we look not at things which are seen, what he's telling us here is don't look at things that are seen. He said in Colossians, set your affection on things above. We look not at things, while we look not at things which are seen, it's this way. If we won't look at this world as lasting, as going on, as all there is, we will have this glory. But at the things which you're not seeing. And what you're doing right now is helping you to look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. If you hadn't come here tonight, you'd be sitting at home moaning and groaning over your lot in life. Now I hope you're going to go home thinking, ain't it going to be wonderful? And isn't God good to me now? What would I have done without that? It helps us to keep our eyes focused. Our eye. Thine eye be single. The whole body is full of life. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For people, the things that are seen are temporal. Everything here is temporal. But these things we've been looking into, eternal. Forever. So, again, I ask us, remind us, why polish the brass on a sinking ship? Why worry about something that's just for a moment? Children, it's not the troubles going to be over soon. It's already been three score, hadn't it? For some of you, it's just for a moment. And the glory is going to far exceed any glory we've ever experienced. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, thank you so much for your word, just one verse of which is glorious. And we thank you for it. We ask that you would keep us from looking at things that are seen, that we would walk by faith, not by sight, and set our affection on things above, where Christ sits, and let cause us to wait, to watch, and to wait, and to look for those eternal things we have with Him, future glory. Let us go on from glory to glory by your grace. It's in Christ's name we've met here tonight. Amen.